on this episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But the Debrief.
So at an early age, again, 12, 13, 14, when you are trying to make sure your mom's car note is paid so that you guys can get to where you need to go, or trying to make sure you have food. He has sisters and brothers, and he wants to make sure they eat. So what do you do? What everybody else around you does.
That's why you all need to tell everybody and your and they mama about this podcast.
Now, if you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him, and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but...
Are y'all keeping up?
Debrief.
Hello, welcome to another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But
the Debrief.
I am Melanie, aka I'm Not a Lawyer, But, and I'm joined by my co-host
Gooseberry. How y'all doing?
Aka my husband. And on this podcast, we are obviously not lawyers, but we spend our time telling you guys about updates in the legal world, things that have happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said this last time, but I want it to be the like perfect cross-section of true crime and like pop culture. Those are the worlds I'm trying to combine. I want to lean more true crime, not like the maybe the version of true crime that you know, but like the legal side of true crime plus pop culture, because we want to cover things that are like in the zeitgeist, in the world. People care about things you want to know, maybe don't want to know, maybe haven't heard of, but should know. That's kind of the cross-section of this podcast.
Yeah.
So today we are talking about...
We over P. Diddy for right now. But YSL.
YSL.
What's the young lady's name?
Karen Reed.
Karen Reed.
And then?
Karen Reed. Uh-huh. That damn dog. And I'm going to mention a conspiracy theory.
Yes. Yeah. Let's see if you can get us on board.
I'm not trying to get you on board. Okay. It's just some information and how it shows you how people be thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Okay. So let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with, actually, hold on, because this is the other side. I have been reading a ton about criminal law because I'm not a lawyer, but I also want to make sure I'm informed and know like what I'm talking about.
This Melanie is a
not a lawyer.
She can read like no other.
That is,
I'm talking about, obviously I'm not just a speedy reader, but Mel is like, and I'm on the same
I had
page.
To though for
you, I'm just saying,
okay,
you are an excellent reader.
Well, thank you. Yes. Context behind that you may or may not know, but prior to becoming a podcaster, and I'm not a lawyer, but in all of those things, I was a content executive. And in that job role, I had to read scripts all the time.
Yep.
A lot of them.
I remember.
If it's a movie, I'm reading 130 pages. If it's a animated TV show for kids, I'm probably reading 30. If it's a live action show, I'm reading 30 to 45. Like, I had to read a lot. And so reading these lawsuits don't feel like nothing. It feels like this is interesting. I can get with that. I used to have to read My Little Pony and then another show called Unicorn Academy, and I would be like, hold on, wait, are we talking about the ponies or the unicorn? I used to be so confused, and it would be like whimsical and magical. I would get so confused. So this stuff, I'm like, oh, it's about Diddy. I know him. I know his son. I know who we talking about. So anyway, it's much easier for me to read this stuff.
Mel be talking about, yeah, it was just a 60-page doc or 100 page. And I'm like, what?
It's easy compared to...
What before that though?
Yes.
Before having that job, you could read.
I feel like it's true. A lot of my jobs required it though. I mean,
groom you to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in Spelman, we in college, you're reading ton of stuff. Sociology major, we were reading a ton. Anyway, crazy. What we're here to talk about, mm-hmm. The point is, I've been reading a lot about criminal law, mm-hmm. And understanding charges when they apply, what they mean, like all of that kind of stuff. And so I recently read about assault and battery.
Assault and battery.
Yes. Do you know the difference between assault and battery? You and I had this conversation a little bit, so you may already know the answer. What is the difference? If you know, this is not a quiz, okay? Also, this is just because many people may not know, and he's my co-host, so I'm going to ask him. What do you think is the difference between assault and battery?
You mentioned this earlier.
I did.
In the week.
Do you be listening to your wife when she talks?
Man. Assault is assault and battery. Man, I can't play with you. I before you mentioned it, I thought they were the same thing.
Uh-huh. Because it seems like that they always seem to be coupled together.
Assault and battery. Just off rip, I would just me thinking, dang, I don't remember nothing you said that time. Assault, I would say, would be something spontaneous that happened.
Okay.
Like, we're in the grocery line and you jumped me and I pushed you away.
Okay.
That's assault.
Okay.
Battery.
Okay.
Is me intentionally, like, I'm coming to get you. Like, I drove to your house.
Yeah.
And I beat you up. That's battery.
Got it. That is not the wrong answer. It wasn't a quiz, though, so it's okay.
Hold on. You said it wasn't the wrong answer.
I mean, I said that wasn't the right answer.
Oh.
If I said wrong, you were not right.
Okay.
That's not what I meant to say.
All right.
So, assault, legal definition, is an unlawful and intentional act causing apprehension of a harmful or offensive contact. And then battery, I'll explain. Battery is the intentional and unlawful offensive or unwanted touching of another. And so in layman's terms, assault is actually when you put someone in fear of imminent attack, imminent unlawful touch. Battery is the actual contact, right? And so an example, if you are facing away from me, and I come up behind you and hit you on the head, but you don't know that I'm coming, that's not assault.
That's battery.
It's only battery. Now, if we are facing each other, and then I raise up a bat and then come towards you, that would be assault because now you are aware of the imminent contact, offensive, unlawful contact that you are about to encounter. And then battery is when it actually touches you. Isn't that interesting?
Come on.
Battery is physical contact. Assault is the person has to know you are about to contact them unlawfully, so, obviously.
But, okay, all right.
Uh-huh.
So with assault, I have to touch you, though. Because I can be like,
well,
and now, is that assault?
You could, I imagine, I'm not a lawyer, but I imagine you can have assault and maybe attempted battery. Because if that is intercepted and I don't connect with you, if I don't make that contact, you could still have been in fear of the aware that you are about to be like unlawfully contacted, touched. And that would still, I believe, meet the standard for assault.
Wow.
Isn't that so interesting? You guys probably think I'm such a nerd, but listen, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that this was the difference.
So when you are in a,
yes, assault is literally the threat. The battery is the contact. Go ahead. Sorry. Somebody in the Patreon said that.
But what I'm saying, like, so if me bucking at you is assault.
Well, I guess it probably could be defined as that, right? Because if I would imagine if your hands don't move, right?
No, I'm saying like if I'm
you
like
legit buck, right?
Yeah. Like what
and
you
then
say?
Put me in fear that like you are about to contact me. I would imagine that would be able to. Yes. Because it is a charge. That you can be charged with assault and then charged with battery. It doesn't have to be assault and battery. They're separate.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine other charges and other
oh my gosh.
Lawyer jargon that's broken down like this.
Oh my gosh, like all of it. It's so fascinating. It's so fascinating how many, like, I've been reading about the difference between like burglary and also like the old version of how burglary is defined versus like modern law and how is it is defined. Mm-hmm. And the I feel like I'm such a nerd right now, but because I believe it's burglary. Y'all know I'm not a lawyer,
okay.
But I believe it's not burglary, but like previous definition of it had to be like at night and like had all these like specificities with it and how it was defined. Mm-hmm. And then modern law updated that to be like, it don't have to be at night. If you just like go and take something from a place, because there's also a difference, right, between like robbery, like I believe is a person, and burglary is like a place, like all, anyway, here's the truth. I've been reading a lot of, okay, I've been reading, there's the California baby bar that everybody knows Kim Kardashian took. All of those questions are public from previous tests, the questions and the answers. And so I've been reading them to like understand law. And so what happens is they give you a bunch of examples of a story, and then the person taking the test then answers the question as far as like, what could this person be charged with? What could be the defense for those charges? Like all of that. And so anyway, they give a bunch of different examples. And so that's kind of what I've been reading to understand how things are defined and like how it's explained. And so anyway, that is that. We can move on.
So are we preparing for the baby bar? That's what it sounds like.
I'm not preparing for anything. I'm preparing to be educated and well-informed so that I can get on a podcast and tell you guys what I learned.
I need to see this baby bar.
Anyway.
And see what companies be paying people for the baby bar.
What companies pay people to take it? Or
no, what type of jobs or what type of...
I don't want to work in it.
I mean, you'd be a consultant.
No, I want to consult for TikTok. And I'm not a lawyer, but the debrief.
10-4, you ain't got to tell me twice.
Okay, moving on. Now that I told you guys about assault and battery, so if somebody asks you, you can tell them that you learned it on this podcast. Okay, let's move on to YSL.
We should do another one, but go ahead.
So on YSL for the last week, Walter Murphy has been on the stand. Context about Walter Murphy, a.k.a. DK, that's his nickname. Walter Murphy is someone who essentially grew up with Young Thug. Mm-hmm. He calls him Little Jeff. That is like the childhood name for Thug. And he, like I said, grew up with him when Thug first got into music. He was there. He was helping him promote. He was helping him do all of that, all of these things. So he was included on the indictment as a part of the RICO. And he took a plea deal. And so as a part of that plea deal, he was called to the stand to testify about his childhood friend and everybody in that courtroom. Talk about awkward.
Yeah.
But he, according to the state, has been present for a lot of the crime, a lot of the overt acts, I should say, because we talked about the differences between overt acts and all of that. So he has been present, according to the state, for a lot of the overt acts. And so his testimony called out a lot of the things that have been discussed throughout the trial, as well as some newer things that have been discussed throughout the trial. And so I'm going to go over just a few of them. The Adrian Bean incident, which I went over on this case too, where that car went flying and landed into the laundromat.
Yep.
Remember that one? Mm-hmm. So Walter Murphy, a.k.a. DK, was there for that. He actually, the police shot him, or I don't know if it was the police because the question was who shot him. But basically, at that incident, Walter Murphy got shot in his leg and in his heel. So he was there. He got shot. He went to the hospital.
There were three people.
It was supposedly Adrian Bean, I think Big Fred, and then Walter Murphy, a.k.a. DK.
Oh, but they were trying to put Thug there, though.
And they were saying the fourth person was Thug, but they could never, the police couldn't confirm if it was three people, four people, if it was a woman, if it was not a woman. DK was for sure there because he got shot.
He got shot. Had to get caught if he got shot.
Yes.
His leg and his thigh.
So he got on the stand and testified about that.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him questions, obviously, about that. He also was there for the Lil Wayne tour bus incident that happened at Compound. Mm-hmm. He testified that they went to the club that night. He was with Thug Sisters, and he said that he saw police and he had a gun on him and he wasn't allowed to. So he dropped the gun and ran. So he said, I don't know what happened to the Lil Wayne incident because I left the scene. I wasn't there because I saw y'all and I left. That's what he said on the stand. The state is saying basically, no, you were there and you know why y'all were there. Y'all were there to have caused problems, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he testified about that. He also testified about, I talked about the incident that is not even in the indictment at all, in the overt act, about that woman who told police supposedly that she was robbed by Young Thug and DK and some other people. They stole some guns and some cocaine and like all this stuff from her. Mm-hmm. And there was never a police report, all that kind of stuff. So he was there for that as well. So they asked him about that. According to Walter Murphy, though, he was like, that never happened. But he said our homeboy is a thief. Like, he stole a lot. So he could have stole from her, but I don't know. So Walter Murphy testified about that. He also testified, and this is the one that I wanted to get to. He also testified about an incident from April of 2015.
Walter Murphy talking. Boy, I tell you, boy.
And I'm going to talk about why, but okay. I wanted to set this up a little bit, is that in April of 2015, this is the story, okay, according to Walter Murphy and the state. Walter Murphy was at a house off of Brown's Mill.
Indicator.
Also,
yes. 2015.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems so far away.
It does. It seems so long ago.
Well, no. It does, to me, it doesn't seem that far, but it is far. It's almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost 2015. That's crazy. So, but anyway, Brown's Mill, Decatur, yes. Georgia.
And so he says, Walter Murphy says that he was at the house with a bunch of people and he was like extra high, like higher than he typically was. He had taken an abnormally large amount of drugs that day.
Dang.
He said he had been up for like a week. And so he's there with a bunch of people and there's a guy there who gets a call. I think it was, I can't remember his name, but there's a guy there who gets a call. Mm-hmm. And that guy grabs a chopper and then throws DK a chopper. They get in a vehicle and they drive to a gas station that is like a couple minutes away. Mm. DK says, I don't even know what we're doing. I'm so high. He threw me a gun and I was like, let's go. So they get in the vehicle, drive to this gas station. And what comes out is that the person who called, the person that's with DK, mm-hmm. they have some friends at the gas station and they called because the group in the gas station said that they believe there's a car outside that's trying to rob them. So they were scared to leave the gas station. So instead of leaving the gas station, they called Walter Murphy and this other guy to come up there to help them. Are you following?
I'm following.
Okay. And so when Walter Murphy and his name is Nard. Okay. His name is Demise McMullen is his legal name. That is who's driving the car.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
So when Demise McMullen, aka Nard, and Walter Murphy get to this gas station mm-hmm. with their choppers.
High as hell.
Walter Murphy gets out. It's on video. You see him with this long gun, mm-hmm. goes up to this other vehicle. Walter Murphy said the vehicle, somebody in the car rolled the window down. So he got scared because he was like, what if they got a gun? So he backs up. And then that vehicle pulls off. Okay.
Okay.
They go right. And then Walter Murphy, Nard, their friends come out of the gas station, rah, rah, rah. Walter Murphy and Nard pull out of the gas station and go left. So they have now gone separate ways okay. out of the gas station. When they get to a light, or as they're driving, I think it was a stop sign, they end up seeing that same car that went right is now by them. Okay.
Okay.
So Walter Murphy and Nard, Demise McMullen, cut off the car, roll down the window, and then Nard, according to DK, pulls out that chopper and gets to shoot. Somebody is shot and they pull off. Okay. So what's unfortunate, the whole thing is, but what's really unfortunate is that the people in that other car had gone to the gas station because
I remember this one.
The grandmother had asked them to run and get her something.
Yeah.
So they were not, according to them, they were not trying to rob them. They were, it was nothing. They were just at the gas station minding their business. Mm-hmm. And because they're paranoid and involved in whatever they are, they thought that they were trying to be robbed and everybody's high. So it's this whole thing. So this man ends up getting shot in his head.
Yep.
And so as a result of that, Demise McMullen, a.k.a. Nard, and Walter Murphy get charged with attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Murphy, because of this situation, gas station, as well as the car inside of the laundromat situation, mm-hmm. Walter Murphy ends up getting sentenced 7 years in jail mm-hmm. for both. It was concurrent. So at the same time, he has to serve this time. Mm-hmm. Okay. He gets out of jail after 7.5 years. 4 months later, the RICO case hits. He gets rearrested.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the overt acts in the RICO case is what happened at the laundromat and what happened at that gas station.
Yeah.
So he says, I did my 7.5 years for these crimes. I got out. And then 4 months later, y'all arrest me for RICO and say my involvement in the RICO is based on these two things that I already went to jail for. Mm. So he's pissed. And he literally says, ain't that double jeopardy? Y'all already got me. So I was going to go ahead. I was going to play the clip so you can hear it, but I just wanted to set it up. Hopefully y'all followed all of that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me say this.
Yep.
This is why smoking weed.
And he was on more than that.
Getting high is not something to be playing with. People are like, oh, just smoking weed, just on a perk 50 or perk 30 or all this other stuff. And you go do some dumb stuff like this. This is crazy. On top of that, gun laws, y'all just riding around with choppers, AK-47s, shooting random people.
I should see if I have the picture still. The
and you like, just and you just got 7 years?
Quite literally, it is.
Come on, man. Come on.
Let me play. I just want to play the clip of Walter Murphy talking about the double jeopardy part and the fact that he already
Walter Murphy, his name, aka, should just be Trouble Man.
Hey, because listen. Okay, hold on. Here we go.
In the name and the behalf of the citizens of Georgia.
He is reading his charge for the RICO. Okay, so that's the context here.
Georgia, do charge and accuse Walter Murphy with the offense of participating in criminal street gang activity for the said accused in the county of Fulton County and state of Georgia on the 12th day of April 2015 did unlawfully while associating with a criminal street gang participate in criminal gang activity through commission of an offense to wit criminal attempt to commit murder contrary to state.
Mr. Murphy, do you identify one Charlie as the plea agreement that you struck regarding this case?
Yes.
Okay, and you initialed several factual acknowledgments in this case, correct, as part of your deal?
Yes.
You had to initial them for the deal to go through, correct?
Yes.
And you wanted the deal to go through because if the deal went through, you were going home, correct?
I'm going back home. I had just came home from doing 7.5 years.
Right. You were upset because you had been arrested for this RICO charge for the same incident that you had already done 7 years for.
Yes, I thought it was double jeopardy.
And you wanted to go back home.
Yes.
So, does he have a point?
No.
Why not?
Here's why. I know. A lot of people were like, how come it's not? And here's, I'm not a lawyer, but here's why. Because in, and I'm going
to. I believe he should have did about 20 in jail.
For what he did.
I do. Like, you shoot somebody, because the guy survived though, correct?
He testified.
But he probably has injuries.
He does. He said he has multiple seizures in a month. He seems like he has a lot of obvious, I mean, you get shot in your head. I imagine you have a lot of issues.
Yeah. And it's not, man, those bullets are like this, him. They are huge. But anyway, but keeping it in the books, in the court system, they gave him 7 and a half. He did his 7 and a half.
Right.
He has no control over that. He did his time. So why, how can y'all bring me back for the same crime?
So these are just some screenshots from the indictment that we went over a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Walter Murphy has 1 count. That count is conspiracy to violate. It's the RICO, right?
Mm-hmm.
The overt act is the attempted robbery and the, well, this is robbery, but attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not recharging him for what he did. They're charging him for violating the RICO Act, and they're saying that the thing that you did to violate it was these attempted murder and these other things that you did, but the actual charge is just violating the RICO Act. It's how RICO, it's how they get around it with the RICO.
Dirty dog.
Yeah.
Dirty dog.
So he is not being recharged for that same thing. He's being charged for violating RICO. Yep. And they're saying, this is a way in which you violated the RICO. You committed this act, and it was in connection with the gang that you're a part of. Hopefully that makes sense. I had a lot of questions about it, so I just wanted to touch on it. It's actually really crappy. But throughout the indictment, some people have charges that they have never been tried on, right? So, like, some people get the RICO, but they also do get a murder charge, or they do get, you know, I don't know, whatever, robbery or whatever. He didn't get that charge again, and it's because he already served his time. It's
I guess you don't make laws until you have to make laws and rulings, you know? You don't, hey, well, they probably, yeah, they set them up. And like everybody else, you're going to do your time here and you're good. But if anything comes up, we got this in our back pocket.
Well, and you know what sucks is, well, I don't know if sucks is the right word, but he was one of the first people to strike a plea. And think about that. If you just did 7.5 years, he's out, he has his kids, you're just settling back into life, and then they come with the same thing for something, and the connection is the thing you just did time for, I would have took a plea too. You know, if you just came out and they're like, you can go back to jail or tell us what happened.
But
I'd be singing now like a bird. Who y'all want to talk about? Kev on stage? Miss Kev, let me tell y'all what they did today. Where you need me to place them? Wisconsin, they was there.
My thing is, they didn't charge him again for the crime committed.
Mm-mm.
But
violating RICO, that the RICO Act is a crime. That's the problem.
But now, is that RICO, violating that RICO, does it come with the same sentence?
Oh, does violating, like, the RICO Act come with the same sentence
of the attempted murder?
That I don't know. I don't know what the minimum and maximums are for RICO.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if.
But I wouldn't want to do a week if 100%. I just did 7 years.
I bet you it varies though. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know, and I have not looked into this, but I bet you it varies because you could, what they're claiming for YSL is that Thug is the head of it, right? I would imagine, and he has the RICO charge, but I would imagine somebody that the state is claiming is the head of it, they may want to get more time than somebody who is like a lower level and, you know, did other things. So I don't know. We should find a lawyer to answer that question. I have no idea.
That's wild though.
It is.
But I think he got off lucky anyway, just doing 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
For a friend of mine was arrested for armed robbery, and did 10 years. No one was hurt. No one was shot. 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't even, what did he get away? I think he got away with a couple hundred dollars. And he did 10.
Yeah.
And I think this was his first offense. This man goes and shoots a random person, attempted murder, and he gets 7.5 years.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I just want to see, because somebody was saying in the Patreon that they wanted to be able to ask questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. But I just want to check really quick before I move on to the next thing about YSL for before we pivot. I just want to see if there's any other questions that I wanted to talk about.
Trouble, man. Trouble,
so
man.
Violating the RICO is a charge on its own, and then whatever you did is separate. Correct. Violating the RICO Act is a charge in and of itself, and then you can also be charged for separate things within that same, like, case, right? Yeah.
Golly.
I don't see any other ones. So I just want to quickly say, because I started watching YSL today and it was already a mess. Okay. So they finally are like wrapping up this like sit go situation where the man was shot in his head and all of that. They're finally like wrapping that up and moving on to new witnesses. So today was like the first day of moving on to new witnesses. However, before the day started, they was in there going off. And what happened is that obviously this case is supposed to last forever, indefinite. And so what happened is the state gave a bunch of evidence and information to the defense, just like boxes. And the state, I mean, the defense had to like filter through, like figure out, okay, you're giving me a bunch of audio jail calls. Who do these jail calls correspond to? Which overt act? Who are these people? When are you going to call them? So it was, they gave them just boxes of information and they've had to kind of sift through and figure out what are you actually going to use? What are you not going to use? And then who, when is it going to become relevant? And so recently the judge has been saying, you guys are not timely. Every time the day we're about to have a new witness, that's when you guys want to raise a motion and say that this stuff should be inadmissible or it's hearsay or whatever. And so he's saying, you guys need to bring that stuff to my attention beforehand, not the day of.
Yeah.
The defense is like, yeah, we've had this stuff for a year and we should bring it to you beforehand, but they're not even telling us who goes, what information goes to what evidence goes to what, or when they're going to call it. Is that, am I making sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They making them fish through, you exactly. Find the evidence.
And so the day before, they're like, we're going to call Greg tomorrow. And so that night, the defense is like, Greg's on this call. We can't have that play. And so then they're like, judge, he's supposed to be called today, but we don't want this tape played. And the judge is like, why are you telling me now? Essentially. And so that happened today. And the judge gets mad at the defense because here you are being late again, bringing this motion. You've had this for a year. And then he also gets mad at the state. Her name is Attorney Love. She is the lead prosecutor on this case.
I think I saw that one.
And she gets in trouble.
Yeah.
It's going to be some yelling, so hopefully it don't hurt y'all ears. We'll see how it goes. But I'm just going to play this clip.
But I've...
This man's name is Max Shart. He represents Shannon Steelwell. And so just context, he's the one who brought the motion to say that this information should be excluded.
Noticed throughout this trial that the state, that is the way their preferred method of impeaching their own witnesses. So if we're going to proceed on that method, which I don't necessarily agree with, I just think we need to clean up those two small areas. One area that has hearsay and one that has inappropriate argument of future dangerousness.
How long have you had this particular recording, Mr. Shart?
I've had it for over a year.
Why the motion at this point in time?
Your Honor, I'm not articulating this correctly, I don't think. In trial.
I'm asking you because here's the court's concern. You could have filed this as a motion months ago.
I wouldn't think that we were going to just.
That's not the point. If you think something's going to come up,
I didn't think it would come up.
Well, you filed it now, so you obviously because you've identified a course.
I've been sitting in trial,
Ms. Sharp, because you've identified a course of behavior. So you should have filed it way before the witness is close to getting on the stand. I'm not saying to you that the information is not any less invalid, but it's the timing that's a problem. Why didn't we file this stuff months ago and let's wind it out and air it out at that point in time? Okay. So I'm going to ask the state their issue on this. Are you cutting this out? Did you have discussions with Mr. Sharp?
Madam? We did have discussions.
When?
Well, this morning.
That's too late. The evidence is excluded. The evidence is excluded. I'm going to exclude because I told you that this was going to happen. No. We're excluding that. And I'm going to exclude the PowerPoint that you all submitted. Well, you're not going to wholesale introduce it.
We have no intention.
All right.
If, call me back, and I would
but
like
you
to
all should not be identifying this stuff the moment of trial while the jury's sitting in a box. This is the last. I am not gonna tolerate this any further. If you don't get together with your colleagues and flag issues and resolve them promptly, and if I have to take them up, remember, I can exclude them. We'll work the weekends, or we'll do a combination of both. So this time, I'm gonna exclude. I'm going to exclude those two sections.
Your Honor, Mr. Atkins, he confronted this witness with those sections. I last week let them know that we were introducing that
section. If the exhibit's not ready and you haven't made, and you, no, well, Mr. Sharp's got objections to it.
But Judge, Mr. Sharp can get in and have our evidence excluded every day that he makes an objection.
No.
And then comes in
and says, well, then you all should have gotten your stuff together before then. Summon our juries, please. Summon our juries. Have a seat, madam. Have a seat. You better exclude it. And next time, make sure you're prepared. Make sure you're prepared.
That's me arguing with McKinley. Why didn't you clean your room yesterday? You can't get on your pad today. Nope.
Listen.
Take the pad away. And McKinley's like, but Dad, you didn't tell me. Yes, I did. Clean your room.
Attorney Love goes back and forth with the judge. It doesn't matter what he says, how he rules. She will go back and forth with him. And today, from my perspective, after having watched 62 days of this trial, was the first time that he actually stood his ground and said, no, it's excluded. It is the first time. And you see what happens is they just want to dump a full, like, it's a PowerPoint and 2 hour long audio statement. Let's just play the whole thing. And the defense is like, no, like you can't do that. And so that's what the back and forth was. But you see, he wouldn't have it. He called the jurors in and she was still trying to go back and forth. And he said, the jurors are coming in now. You can have a seat.
I wonder what strategy that is for the state to be doing it.
It makes the defense unprepared.
But then it prolongs everything. And
sure.
Now you have this situation. And I thought when like a trial is prolonged, that's more of a indication that it's going to be a mistrial or dismissed. No?
No.
It's probably going to, the exact opposite.
Well, I mean, you would need like a legal basis for a mistrial. It taking
trials just go on.
It can go as long as it needs to go. But I think one of the biggest problems in this case is the mismanagement as far as the judge is concerned. That man takes a gazillion breaks. Okay. They just be taking time off. He's not stern. He doesn't make them get on their stuff. The state has been all over the place, not providing prior information, doing it in a reasonable amount of time. Like it's caused it to last forever. But you know, they have Brian Steele on the defense, Thug's attorney, has tried to file motion for a mistrial a gazillion times, and the judge be like, denied. See y'all tomorrow because it's denied.
To see this go down in court is crazy. It's like, this really is happening amongst these professional people.
They
are arguing over not having their paperwork in on paperwork turned in on time.
Oh my gosh. It's so ridiculous.
It's eye-opening.
Somebody in the Patreon is saying write to a speedy trial. Write to a speedy trial has to do with how long until your trial starts. So they can't just put you in jail. They're not supposed to be able to put you in jail for 10 years and then after 10 years try you. Right to a speedy trial is that it has to happen like within a reasonable amount of time.
That's good though, because
not how long it's gonna take.
That's what I was about to say.
Those are different.
People think so different. Because right to a speedy trial. Hey man, this trial, hey, I'm guilty or innocent. Come on now.
Of the trial.
Not the speed of the trial.
No.
When the trial starts.
Exactly.
Okay.
So anyway, that is YSL. Wrapping that up. That is YSL today.
I would like to speak on having I've been knowing some guys since I was in the third grade. And I know them till now. Like, it's been my whole life.
Yes.
I can't fathom having to tell on them or putting me in a predicament where I have to choose them in certain situations. That's especially when this is the difference between snitching and taking care of yourself.
Okay.
Right. So if I'm in this with you, we both know the consequences of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty and common sense to me is common sense. I stepped into this with you knowing the consequence. So if I get caught, if something happens to me, I shouldn't tell on
that person
that did it with me.
Oh.
Because I'm willingly doing it.
Okay.
But if I'm not in that world with you and just say, I go to your home and you're selling drugs at your home
and something goes down,
Then I'm excluded from that.
Okay.
Now it's, yes, he did it.
Hello.
He did it. And he did it.
Right.
Now it's not only my fault because I got caught. It's my friend's fault for allowing me even in the presence of that. Cause he knows I'm not about that life.
That's so interesting.
So in this guy's case, Trouble Man, you know, it seems like he's been around and he knows what's happening and he's just spilling the tea. But yeah, I just want to say that I've been around some guys for a long time and that has to be a bad feeling.
Oh, I'm sure. They talked a lot about Walter Murphy talked about, he was asked about, Rice Street, the Fulton County jail, and how bad it is, the condition of it. There's been a lot of, deaths in that jail. Like the first one, I think from like over a year ago was like, bed bugs. Someone was like covered in bed bugs. After that, it's just been countless people, like probably over 10 people died in that jail last year. And like, they go check their cell and they're dead. Not like stabbing here or, you know, like some kind of inmate violence, but like people be dying. And he was talking about just how bad it is. You ever been in that jail?
No.
Okay. I couldn't remember. You know, you had a past in your life and you didn't been arrested in your life, but I couldn't remember if you ever.
The downtown one.
You been in the downtown one, Rice Street.
By Martyr.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Greyhound. It's Greyhound.
Yeah, right. Y'all asked about Greg's past another time.
I ain't never. I had to pick some people
up. I was with
you. From
I remember
Street.
We had to pick somebody up off Rush Street.
Man, I'm sorry to you guys that live that life, but when you sign up to do that stuff, you have to accept what comes with it. It's just you can't. Well, you can, because people obviously do it all the time. And what's crazy about it, we keep seeing examples of this. And guys keep doing the same thing.
Well, I mean,
Hold on.
Okay.
The biggest drug dealers, crime lords, they all get caught because their friends tell on them.
I mean, yeah.
And they end up in jail. So then you see this. You glorify it and you end up in Wright Street. And now you won't help. You can't. It don't work like that.
Okay,
you can't. You can't. You're reaping what you sow. You can't do that. Now, obviously, it's messed up that it's that way, and nobody deserves to be in no jail cell with. If you die from bed bugs, that's crazy.
That jail should be shut down.
Yeah. Of course, that should happen. Guys and people watching this or knowing about this, if you're locked up after figuring this out or seeing this or knowing that Wright Street is this type of place, and you continue to go down that path,
I want to interject, but I'm gonna let you finish.
You out of luck, playboy.
Okay, but here's what I want to say that I think is important to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
What Brian Steele does, and I think why he is masterful,
mm-hmm.
is that he always asks and paints the picture of people's life.
Mm.
And what he talked about specifically for Walter Murphy and the fact that he grew up very similarly to Thug,
mm-hmm.
Walter Murphy's mom is disabled and has been his entire life, has not ever worked, cannot mm-hmm. walk. She has, I don't know, 4 or 5 kids, maybe even more than that. He is the oldest son,
mm-hmm.
okay? And he, at the age of 12, 13, or 14, had to start making money for the family. He talked about he had to pay his mom's car note. He talked about he would come home from school and their stuff would be in the front of the neighborhood. They would have nowhere to live, no food to eat. He talked about him and Thug exchanging clothes with each other, even if they were dirty, simply because they wanted to wear something, a different pair of pants.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was, they had no money, and he had to, as the boy, the oldest son, and in the family that he doesn't know his father. He talked about all of them have different fathers, and almost all of him and his siblings don't know the man and that and their fathers.
Yep.
So he had this heavy responsibility to take care of his family. And they lived in a neighborhood in which the way that people took care of their families was doing things that are illegal.
Yeah.
And so at an early age, again, 12, 13, 14, when you are trying to make sure your mom's car note is paid so that you guys can get to where you need to go, or trying to make sure you have food. He has sisters and brothers, and he wants to make sure they eat. So what do? What everybody else around you does. And so while it is easy
mm-hmm.
to say, y'all are dumb, you shouldn't do this, don't y'all, this is what happens. The reality is, when that's all you know and your life circumstances shows you that this is the way, that's kind of what you do. And it's not because, I'm sure if he grew up in a different place, he may have gone a different path. But when you are, when you grow up on Cleveland Avenue in that area, in the way that it was, you do what you got to do. And that's because you're just trying to make it till tomorrow. So I hear you. I just want to extend some grace, because I recognize that everybody doesn't have, it is privilege that we were able to go to college. It is privilege that we had meals and dinners on our tables. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody doesn't have that. And so that pressure to try to provide for your family and everybody around you is doing it through selling drugs. That's what you do too.
That's why you all need to tell everybody and your and they mama about this podcast. Because the way she just spoke that, how she broke that down, is absolutely true. Absolutely true. I have no comeback for that. That is true. You have to, this is the path that's been made for
100%.
Certain people, and they have to unfortunately go through it and hopefully make it out. So shoot, everything I said, you throw in the trash.
Hilarious. Well, what he said on the stand, that
you was absolutely right.
Okay, and then we can really move on. But what he said on the stand that, again, stood out to me
mm-hmm.
is that the state, as a part of his plea, he had to do community service. And so she said that what he has chosen is to speak to kids and talk to them about what he's gone through.
Oh,
he emphasized a lot that he was like, I have a son, two sons. I think he has 2 daughters, 2 sons. I don't want them to go through what I went through. I want to be different. I am trying to be on the straight and narrow. All I do is go to work and come home. I'm trying to make money legally. And so it seems like he really is trying to change and mm-hmm. have a new lease on life. Mm-hmm. But that only comes as a result of 7.5 years in jail, getting a RICO charge, you know, being having attempted, like all of that happened to him. And now he's arrived at this point. And who knows how many people don't even make it to that point because they don't make it to that point.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is that.
That was strong.
Well, good.
We had a button for an applause.
Hilarious. Somebody said two things can be true, and I agree. Two things can be true. Both some of the things that Greg is saying can be true, and some of the things that I'm saying can also be true. I just, as I watch trials and watch all of this stuff, I always like to try to keep in mind the humanity of it all, right? Like many people are not just bad people.
Yeah. I'm gonna say this and then we can move on. I had both of my parents. Mm-hmm. I had meals every night. Mm-hmm. Had no issues. The friends
you
I
the
hung
person
out
that
with,
you're talking about, go ahead.
Yeah. The friends I hung out with, what they were doing intrigued me. So that's what I did. I had no business doing it at all. So I got in trouble, locked up. These vets, they haven't been locked up. It was me. I got locked up. And I'm like, oh, this is that bug. I'm never in my life doing this again.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I turned my life around. But I say I turned my life around like I'm just.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't.
When I met Greg, he was on probation. I used to have to take him to the probation office.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't have to turn my life around. I had to start thinking. Anyway. I was. When that happened to me, I was going home to a structured house. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These guys are coming out to nothing or to the streets or trying to figure out how things worked. I learned HVAC and heating and air conditioning because my father was like, you need to learn a trade. If my dad wasn't there to tell me that, I probably would have did something else. Mm-hmm. Something not productive.
Yeah.
So two things can be true, but the way you said what you said, the tough love, the way I'm talking about it is not needed. What that young man, even though I think he still should be at 20 for shooting that boy, him coming out and trying to do community service and talk to kids, that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. Because he can be that guy to tell them, hey, get a trade. And then they end up like your boy Goose.
Amen. There you go. Cast host. You see it? All right. Moving on. Because we spent an hour. We always do this. Sorry, y'all. Okay. We're going to pivot to Karen Reed. And that's because we have to pivot to Karen Reed because that trial, they are in jury selection right now. Mm-hmm. I hope that they land on a jury this week and have opening statements this week. As a reminder, because we talked about this, I think, on the first episode, but I just want to give a mini recap on that trial or a quick synopsis of the case. Karen Reed, this case is out of Boston, and she is charged with running over her boyfriend, who was Boston police officer John O'Keefe, and leaving him to die during a blizzard, again, in Boston on January 29, 2022. Police say that she was dropping him off at a party, and as she was leaving, she hit him and then drove away and left him in the snow, and he was found the next morning dead. Her team, Karen Reed's team, is saying that she is being framed by Boston police. She says that he actually went inside the house that evening. She dropped him off at the house of some other police officers. He was beaten and attacked by, he was beaten by somebody in that house, attacked by the family dog, and then put outside and left to die. That is what her team claims. Okay. So that is the trial, or what the charges are. The thing about this case is that it has gotten a ton of national media. It is all over. So it's everywhere in Boston. A lot of people are aware about the case. And that presents a problem when you are trying to find a jury, because you have to find people who don't know about this case or haven't formed an opinion on this case. And what they said is that on day one of jury selection, they asked if anybody heard about this case, and like 70% of the people in there were like, I have, and I have an opinion. And so it's just making things a bit harder to find a jury. Obviously they will find them.
I didn't know that.
What?
That you didn't, I didn't know that you couldn't know about the case before becoming a juror.
They haven't selected me for a juror ever, which is unfortunate. But for sure, you have to answer. I imagine it's probably ideal for you to not have heard about it. But in the event you have, for sure, you, if you say I have an opinion on it already, you're absolutely being excluded. I don't know if you just absolutely cannot have heard about it, because I've never been on jury selection because they won't pick me. But like 70% of them were removed because they had heard about it and formed an opinion. So all of that to say, hopefully they get to openings soon. But what I want to say, and what's really interesting, is that they were having some pretrial motions to wrap, like, you know, before the trial starts, they try to wrap up all everything in a nice bow so we can start clean. And when, I'm going to try to make this plain. Okay. During a criminal trial, we all know that the state or the prosecutors have to prove to the jurors that the defendant, right, this person did this crime beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Yes. That is the bar. You have to, beyond reasonable doubt, this person did this. The defense, the person accused of the crime, they don't have to prove that they didn't do it necessarily. They have to prove reasonable doubt. They have to poke holes in enough holes in the state's case to show that maybe this person did that, maybe they didn't, right? Okay. And so the defense doesn't have any responsibility to actually prove anything, right? All of the proof has to come from the prosecution. You following?
So you're literally guilty.
Huh?
She's guilty until she proves herself innocent.
She is
not innocent until proven guilty.
I wouldn't say that. What did I say means that? Sorry.
You said she has to poke holes in their defense.
Well, that is her. Yeah, she's going to show how what they're, she's trying to give reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm saying is she has to do that because they're basically saying she's guilty.
Well, yeah, they are saying she's guilty. Yeah. And she's saying I'm not guilty. And so they go back and forth in trial.
So she's proven her innocence. So she's guilty right now.
I don't agree
with you. It's not them convincing.
They're convincing the jury that she's guilty.
Okay. I guess you can look at it both ways because two things could be true.
So if that's her only responsibility is to poke holes, and she doesn't technically have to prove anything.
Yep.
The problem is in this case, like I just said, her position is that she didn't kill her boyfriend and that somebody in that house killed her boyfriend, right? Mm. And so as a part of her defense, her team wants to be able to basically show somebody else killed him. Mm. Am I making sense?
Okay.
So it's called third party culprit defense.
I was just about to say, so what happens with that?
Okay. Okay. And so her team asked the judge to allow them to do, third party culprit defense, to allow them to point the finger at somebody else and say that this is actually who did it.
Third party culprit
defense. Yeah, that's what it's called. And so they asked that. Typically, that's not allowed because the burden of proof shouldn't be on the defendant. To your point about saying like she has to prove herself, the burden of proof shouldn't be on the defendant. Mm-hmm. And so technically that's not allowed, but her team is like, let us prove that they did it and not her. And so the judge just ruled that she's going to let them basically. I'm going to show the clip so you can hear, and it may be, they may explain it a little bit better than I am.
Today, on the statement of the case, the defendant wants me to add, the defendant contends that Mr. O'Keefe's injuries were suffered as the result of a physical altercation with another person or persons and not from being struck by Ms. Reed's vehicle. The defendant denies that she has committed any of the crimes alleged in this case. I'll give the last sentence. I'm not going to give the other sentence because Ms. Reed's presumed innocent and has no burden of proof, and I would be assigning her a burden of proof, and I'm not going to do that. Based on the offer of proof on Friday, I am well within my rights pursuant to the case law to exclude the third party culprit defense. I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to give you a chance to develop it through relevant, competent, admissible evidence, but you cannot open on it. So that's my ruling on that.
So basically, the judge is like, I don't have to allow you to do this technically because the burden, you don't have the burden of proof, yeah. And I shouldn't.
So she proved.
However, she said, if in some other way this is able to be brought up, mm-hmm. I'll allow you to do it. But you can't do it in your opening statement. And the reason that matters is because opening statements are basically like a thesis, right? They're basically mm-hmm. like the opening paragraph to a paper. It is, in this paper, I'm going to show you that this happened because of this on this day, blah, 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 whatever. Yep. They like paint their story. So she's saying, you can't be in your opening statement like Karen Reed didn't do that. This, and it's because the cops did it. You can't do that. Mm. She's saying you can have your opening, not include that. But should it be brought up in an admissible way throughout the trial, the floor is yours. I am so tuned in.
I'm ready for this.
I want to see if somebody brings this up because that it, as soon as they let them talk about what happened in the house or bring up the fact that that woman Googled how long to die in the cold. Oh, it is on and popping. It is going to be so good. I'm so excited to watch how this goes down.
Boston.
I mean, somebody died and that's not exciting. I recognize that. Let me just say that. I am very sensitive. I just talked about humanity. I recognize that. However, the legal part of it and being able to see what gets in and what doesn't and how it ends up going, I'm fascinated.
And it's crazy how sloppy this whole investigation is. Like,
they're literally
talking
like
about
a police
officers
cover up.
Covering.
Yes. It's going to be so crazy.
Somebody told me I can't speak definite. Like, I know for a fact.
Because you don't.
You know, somebody told me that. So what I'm thinking is that everybody in that house, everybody in that house is going to be eventually taken care of.
Everybody is saying it's going to be some charges, not against her. Oh, it's going to be some charges.
Definitely. If they're saying that this man passed away from her hitting him with that vehicle. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's the one hole in their case that's going to destroy everything. Because once you see the video of the cars in the snow, it can't even move that fast. All that craziness. It's not even a case. Then the dog marks, the scratches and the bites on the man.
Oh yeah.
It's wild. I really want to see these people. I want to see the stories they come up with and how much they're going to lie in this case.
Oh, 'cause
they're going to have to, and you got to keep up with it. You got too many people telling lies and they have to, all of them have to stay.
Absolutely.
You can't even remember the last lie you told.
For real.
And say it verbatim.
Keeping up with a lie is difficult.
Come on.
Difficult.
Man, we got taxes.
Hello?
We got.
How did we get here?
You got. Because we got to pay these damn taxes. Taxes. You got your children. You got food, your health. We paying for apples out here.
All right, sir. Sir.
You ain't about to keep up with no lie.
So this is going to be interesting. It made me think about Melly. Let me say this, and then I'm going to just quickly mention Melly. But so the trial hopefully is going to start this week after they seat the jurors, and it's supposed to last 6 to 8 weeks. So it's going to be some time. Because I'm not a lawyer, but videos on all of the platforms that I'm on and like daily recaps, I'm not going to daily recap Karen Reed, but Greg and I are going to watch it, and then we are going to recap and discuss it on this podcast. So if you like this podcast and you plan on keeping up, either watch it or just know that that is what we are going to talk about. If something crazy happens in YSL, I might mention it, but I really want to dedicate us because I want to be able to follow this one. The witnesses, the testimony, the evidence, like everything that comes out. And that's why I only wanted to do a little bit of a recap today, because once they get into it, opening statements, we're going to talk about that. So we are going to be watching that. If you want to keep up with that, that's what we're going to be talking about. 6 to 8 weeks, we'll be covering it. I'm making Greg watch it as well, not just me. So we will be.
She's making me. I'm into this.
Well, good. We are all in.
Be up in there. So that's like booty hell.
Oh my gosh. That's what's coming up. I'm going to say this quickly because I want you to be able to get to the conspiracy. And this is just about like the burden of proof. Is that like actually YNW Melly is probably going to be too much to try to recap. I was going to talk about how they didn't prove who did the crime. They just poked holes in the defense's case. We'll talk about YNW Melly another time. Okay. All right.
Also,
go ahead.
Boston police have been going back to the 70s, have been documented as
a lot of the NYPD,
corruption.
LAPD, BPD.
They've been trying
BDs.
To reform Boston police since the 1970s. It's an ongoing thing of corruption. All right. It be in all the movies too, and you know movies be based on true blood.
That's true. Somebody in the Patreon, get your what's the name ready.
Okay.
Somebody in the Patreon is saying, where do we watch it? Thank you, because I forgot to say this. You can watch it on Law and Crime on YouTube. They will stream it. I also like to watch like some of the local news stations, and that's just because I just prefer to watch that. So if you just Google it, though, I mean, put it in YouTube, I'm sure it will come up. But for sure, Law and Crime on YouTube will be streaming the trial. During jury selection, obviously, it's not streamed because they have to protect the identities of the jurors. And so if you are not finding it today, it's because it's in jury selection and you can't see the jurors. But as soon as they get going, you'll see it. And I'm sure it'll be covered everywhere. So tune in because we're going to be watching it. All right.
For sure.
Go ahead.
Sure enough. on a lighter note.
Yes.
Everybody. Well, we have children.
We do.
If you have children. have you ever found your child eating paint chips?
Paint chips off the wall?
Off the wall. Have you ever witnessed your child?
I don't think I have.
Licking the wall?
Coloring. Just, our just kid like, colors on ours.
Yeah, you find them coloring the wall.
Okay, what?
You find them marking up the wall, but I have never. I've been a maintenance man for a while. I've been in facilities for a long time. I have never found paint chips on the floor unless we're doing some type of construction. Okay, and I've never witnessed anybody eating paint chips.
Okay.
I'm saying this because back in the 1970s, they banned lead paint.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I just found this intriguing.
Okay.
Not saying I believe in it.
All right.
Because I'm going to poke holes in it too.
There you go. Come on, juror, lawyer, attorney.
So, lead paint apparently blocks. Hold on. They banned lead paint. Then they started telling people you have to get the lead paint out of your home.
Okay.
Put up regular paint, whatever. Now, all these new homes obviously doesn't have lead paint.
Okay.
All right. So, lead paint apparently blocks radiation and Wi-Fi. So, people are saying to keep the government to make you believe that lead paint is bad. We're going to say your children are going to die from it. And it's because they're eating paint chips. But in reality, they're trying to now enforce their practices so they can send Wi-Fi and radiation and signals through your home and be able to communicate and do everything they need to do to monitor you well.
Okay, I gotta follow. Hold on. Let me restate what I heard. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. You first asked if kids eat paint chips and mostly people said no.
Yes.
And you're saying the answer is no and the government actually just made that up.
Yes.
Because they wanted us to stop using
Lead paint.
Lead paint.
Mm-hmm.
Because why?
It blocks the radiation and Wi-Fi from penetrating the home.
Okay.
Yes.
And so they wanted that to not happen. And so they told us this lie.
Yes.
Okay. And now they're saying, actually, just kidding, use lead paint?
No.
Oh.
No. Okay. What I'm saying is they told us not to use lead paint so they can then make your home accessible to Wi-Fi and radiation. They can send signals throughout.
It was blocking it, which is a good thing, yes. But they actually wanted it not blocked so that they can do what government people do and spy on us.
There you go. Now that I'm just saying,
this is
what it is. Now I'm saying this because I've never seen
a kid lick or eat paint chips.
Yeah, I haven't seen children lick the walls. I've just, and our baby, if a baby would do that,
it would be my baby.
She would be the one.
I thought it was
walls.
Like a health issue, like it was harmful to us, like.
Yes, but lead isn't harmful to you unless you ingest it.
You touch
it, ingest it. Blah,
but
it's
you
just
can like
a,
breathe it in and it's fine.
You can't really
breathe it in.
I'm not a scientist.
Hey, you see it?
You can't. I haven't. Thousands of homes, millions of homes still have lead paint in the house. You just can't disturb it. It's similar to like asbestos. But. Okay. Now, I think that was a good argument on what was the real reason you didn't want us using lead.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I mean, the records show that millions of people have passed from lead poisoning. Yeah. I don't know if it's from the paint.
Got it.
Products or from other situations. But now in older homes, people are saying they don't have Wi-Fi signals and their Wi-Fi becomes great again, is restored
after
they have walls knocked down and replaced.
Oh, Lord. All right.
So now this is the holes I'm poking in
this
conspiracy. These older homes have years and years and layers of paint, wallpaper, covered up on the walls. So your walls go from being this thick to now they're this thick. So that also makes sense to me because I have knocked up a floor and there's like three floors underneath my floor, three different tiles, sets of tiles that people have just been laying tiles on top of tiles. You also have, when you paint walls, I mean, if it's an older wall, you don't know what's behind there. So you start doing construction. You have a layer of paint. Then you have wallpaper. Then you have another set of wallpaper. Then you have the sheetrock. And then you have whatever insulation they use. So that could also block the signal.
Somebody said lead paint was outlawed before Wi-Fi was even invented.
Yes. So this other guy was saying, which is crazy now, Wi-Fi was created in 1996.
Okay.
Do you all really think somebody created Wi-Fi in 1996, thought about it, and was like, boom, Wi-Fi?
Right.
No. Usually those things take 20 to 30 years. 1997, go back 20 years, you're 1978, 1976, when they banned lead paint. I'm just saying, y'all.
Wait, so you believe all, what do you believe?
I believe there's an argument here, but I'm poking holes in it because it's also like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because also with the Wi-Fi, and this is the one that has me, it's almost the nail in the coffin saying that all this lead paint stuff is bull, is our TVs. We had antennas.
Right.
And we were watching TV had to catch the.
Yeah.
So if our house was just full of lead, how am I in the basement
still able to
watching TV?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You say it blocks that. But yeah, that's the way, you know, people be out here thinking,
yeah,
man. It make you think though. I don't believe.
I believe lead poisoning is
kids
real.
Kids were eating paint chips.
I don't believe that either. But I also believe lead poisoning is real. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lead poisoning is
real.
Don't
eat lead paint chips.
And they still sell lead paint now. Lead paint is still used So what? Why is it being used? Why, if it's this bad and million people are,
then why?
Why are you still selling it? Yeah.
All right. He's not a scientist or conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. He's just a person who asks questions after watching TikTok videos. that was good, though. I think that's all.
It is. That's good, man. Hey. All right.
Ah, you're hilarious. Thank y'all for... People in Patreon are cracking me up. Thank y'all. She said things that make you say them. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all for joining us today for another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But
The Debrief.
We will be back next week. We, again, are watching Karen Reed trial. Make sure you are tuned in. That's what we're going to be covering. Follow I'm Not a Lawyer, But on all the platforms, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Follow you.
At GOOLZBY on IG, and let us tell it on YouTube.
Oh, and you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/I'm Not a Lawyer, But see y'all next week.